The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I imagine some of you have seen one of the great sites of Redwood City, maybe one of the important tourist sites. People haven't started coming here on buses yet to look at it. But if you drive down 101, especially if you're going south, there's two exits for Redwood City. And between the first and the second, on your right, there's a 10-foot high sitting Buddha looking at the freeway. So have some of you seen that? So that's certainly interesting. And that had nothing to do with us. It's just there's this Buddha looking at the freeway. He has his hand up, you know, blessing the cars going by. Or it's quite something to see. And then he's elevated on a cinder block kind of altar, cinder block teaching platform. He's, you know, up in the cinder block kind of thing. So he's a little bit higher than everybody, which is, you know, maybe kind of nice. And you'll see that there are, I've been there for many years, but full offerings. People put oranges and there's some quarters put up there. There's usually some water, bottles of water there. People making offerings to the Buddha. And but what makes it so spectacular is that the cinder block kind of thing, that the building, that it's cinder block box that it's Buddha sitting on, is a trash enclosure. It's a two big, you know, these big rolling trash cans, dumpster kind of things, get rolled in there and are kept stored there, I guess, until they taken out for the garbage trucks to come and take them out. So we have this very famous quote in Buddhism about lotuses growing out of muddy water. No muddy water, no mud, no lotus, Thich Nhat Hanh said. But in Redwood City, no trash, no Buddha. And the symbolism of the Buddha sitting on trash is fantastic. Because which of us doesn't have trash when we're sitting and meditating? If you were willing to kind of stretch the meanings of the symbolic meaning of trash, that probably most of us have things going on inside of us that, you know, it's not really worth keeping. It's not really worth continuing with. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of rubbish. And I don't know. I know I've looked at my there are times when I've looked at my mind, what it thinks, and that's rubbish. You know, who needs that? I mean, that's just silly. That's just like, has no value. But, and then we have feelings of all kinds, we have motivations, we have, you know, human beings are complicated people, and we have things that are challenging about ourselves, some things that are maybe not so so noble. The Joseph Goldstein once said, excuse me, made this analogy of, or this example of, if we could project onto the wall, on the screen, what you're thinking about so everybody could see, this would not, most people would not be so happy about that. So the stuff that would be on the screen that you wouldn't be so happy that people saw, that you're, maybe you're living, you know, with it all the time, maybe that's the muddy waters from which the lotus, lotus represents awakening. The lotus can grow. That out of the trash, the Buddha comes. So it means that we don't have to reject what's difficult inside of us. We're not supposed to hate it. We're not supposed to treat it as unfortunate that there's a respectful way to meet what is difficult, what is challenging, what is maybe unfortunate, maybe that which is rubbish inside of us, that which is not even healthy, maybe wholesome, to meet it with respect, to meet it with care, not with shame, not with embarrassment, not with justification, not with defending it, not with hating it, and not using that the evidence of that kind of inner trash as proof that I'm a terrible person, and then we hate ourselves for having it. But rather, instead of all those ways, to meet it with respect, with care. This is the very food, this is the very compost, this is the very thing from which we practice. It's the material of practice. It's the material which we're looking at, being honest about, seeing, naming, learning to how to be mindful of it, learning how to respond to it in wholesome and skillful ways. Rather than seeing it as unfortunate, a classic Buddhist understanding is, I'm so fortunate that I have a practice to address this. These things aren't the problem. The problem was not having a practice. Now I have a practice to meet it and to work with it and to approach it in a different way. And so in a way that maybe supports you to have compassion for yourself, for this kind of tendencies inside of us that are maybe not so healthy, and to have compassion, to have care, to have respect, that it's difficult to be a human being. It's very difficult. And the conditionings that we have growing up in our lives, the experiences we have in our life are difficult. And so all kinds of things get created and formed inside which are not necessarily so healthy for us and for the other people as well. But we have the ability to meet it with practice. We have the ability to meet it with kindness, with care, with non-judgment, with awakening, with Buddhahood, with lotuses, to meet what's difficult in you and offer it flowers, not jail or not condemnation. So we're shifting the relationship to this, what's often considered, unfortunately, we might consider something like trash, so that rather than trash, it becomes the compost out of which lotuses grow, the compost out of which Buddhas grow. And it's a mistake to think that the Buddha was born perfect and he just sailed right through to enlightenment because he was just already so pure and perfect in every kind of way. The problem with the Buddha was not that different from all of you in your own way. Probably there's a lot of commonality, and he probably had his own suffering. I can't imagine that he didn't have major suffering. You know, his mother died when he was 7 days old. So he kind of grew up without a mother. And I imagine that's a huge thing for a child, for a person. And he, you know, you don't leave home without, in his kind of situation, without some huge challenge that he was struggling with probably. He had his material that he was challenges that he had, and he faced them. He tried to avoid them, and with the classic stories of his life, was that he first tried to avoid them by going into very deep states of meditation. I mean, they don't describe it that way, but that he was avoiding. But that's basically what you do when you go in these very deep states of meditation, and it's often. Put a lot of value on deep states of meditation as that's where it's really at. But there are some deep states of meditation which are actually avoidance. And he understood that that wasn't the way to go. And then he tried asceticism, which is kind of to deny yourself and to starve yourself and to, you know, condemn yourself in a certain way. And he realized that didn't work. But only when you can sit with what's here, sit in the fire, sit with it all, and have the confidence that out of muddy waters the lotuses grow, that the Buddhas depend on trash to become Buddhas, that your practice in a certain kind of way depends on what's a little bit odd about you. I don't know if that's polite to say. Whatever is a little bit difficult about your life and yourself. This is not a mistake when you come to Buddhism that you have some peculiarities, that you're unique in some kind of difficult way. This is actually the food for practice. This is what you want to meet. This is what you want to be honest about and find a way to grow out of it, grow from it into a lotus. So I'll tell you one anecdote that would happen out there in that hall out there many years ago, that we hosted here a meeting of senior Zen teachers. And then there were probably about 15 of them, my guess. And they were sitting in a circle. And the topic that they were asked to address at one point in the meeting was, now that you've been practicing and teaching for decades, some of them 50 years, what challenges do you have? And they went around, and they were really honest. They mentioned all these challenges they have as teachers, challenges as people, what they're up against. And they weren't so different than other people would have. So you might say, what? All these years of Buddhist practice and you have those problems? I mean, like, wow, isn't that a failure? I mean, that doesn't give me confidence. But what they had, and this is what inspired me, was the way they talked about it was completely honest, nothing defensive about it, nothing trying to hide, and somehow completely at ease. They weren't troubled by it in any kind of way. I said, wow, that was cool to see. Wow. So they had taken their trash and made it into a beautiful Buddha in some way. And their honesty and their practice with it and working with it. Yes, they still had things to practice with, but they had, they'd come to a place in their life where they could hold it clearly, openly, honestly, non-reactively, non-judgmentally, non-shamefully. They can just let it be there in front of their peers. A community that often doesn't want to share so publicly, their foibles, their difficulties, but here they were, quite open about it. So for those of you who have no trash inside, great, we'll celebrate that and be happy for you, and that's really wonderful. Thank you. And those of you who have a little bit, or maybe you have some occasionally, maybe accidentally, know that in Redwood City, out of the trash, the Buddha. And if you haven't seen that Buddha, you can get off on the Whipple exit here, entrance off Whipple, and drive south and just stay in the slow lane, and you'll see it, just this Buddha waving. But if you want to go closer to it, you can just have to take the city streets from here and wind your way over to towards the freeway, and I think it's there because there's a some kind of Chinese import company, so it's probably run by Chinese Buddhists, and so it's in their parking lot of this Chinese import company, and so I imagine that it's out of their reverence and their care that they introduced this Buddha on their in their parking lot. So It's nice to go see. So thank you very much.